us to build towards our meeting, our gatherings, purposes, the practice, the pattern, the orderliness of our gatherings. We ask that as we look into your word, you will help us to receive our meetings afresh, to see your plans and purposes for them, in them. That our meetings will glorify you as it edifies us, in the name of your Son. Amen. Alright. So Philemon 6 is a text, and I'm going to make the session brief. Philemon 6. So it says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Praise God. So we said the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, I mean, that was where we started out. The faith of our Lord Jesus Christ is not only received, but is meant and practiced. So Christianity is where what you have received, you begin to learn and practice it. Praise God. I've said that the Christian faith is a knowledge of it. That means you cannot serve God properly without knowledge. You cannot be effective in the faith. You cannot be an effective Christian without the right knowledge. You cannot be an effective Christian without the right knowledge. Praise God. A healthy Christian is known in his pursuit of knowledge and diligence in acting on it. A healthy Christian is known by his pursuit of knowledge, the knowledge of God's word. Amen. I said amen. You know, before I close the first service or session, while I was exhorting at the close of the teaching, I said something. I said that it doesn't matter, or no matter, let me say it doesn't matter. No matter how it makes you feel, praise God. No matter how it makes you feel. You know, sometimes are we here? Serving God can make you feel bored. You are the one feeling. Are we together? So many times, you can feel excited at serving God. So, feelings are there. So, I said, in the morning, I said, no matter how it makes you feel, praise God. No matter. Praise God. No matter how it makes you feel, something must be working in your mind day and night, that the path you are on his purpose. When you remember that, your feelings don't stop you. Praise God. So, you see, Christianity, the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. Some people don't understand Christianity. And it's also largely because people have been maybe badly taught. Maybe that's the way to put it. Wrongly taught. Amen. You see, if you, except you are a kid, you are listening to me now, except you are a kid, that means you are not matured yet. Except you are not matured yet. Except you don't know anything about life. You don't know anything about life. You would have realized that moving forward takes effort. Do you get it? Moving forward does what? It takes effort. So, Christianity makes progress through labor. Are we together? Are we together? Are you listening to me? There is nothing worthwhile in life that is going to be done that does not require effort. Nature teaches you that. It takes much work. Are you listening to me? Look at me, everyone. Did you realize that it actually takes effort to bring forth another human being into the world? That is nature teaching you. That if you are going to get things done, it sometimes mental energy. It can be emotional energy. It can be spiritual. You generate spiritual power through prayer. And energy is rated. Are we together? Energy is what? Rated. So sometimes, the energy you put to something, if you put that energy into something else, that other thing might not work because it needs a greater word, energy. Are we together, church? So sometimes Christianity has been taught to people to look like, and that's why God is. Through proper teaching, God is changing that. So that when you come to Jesus, He will end all your life problems. Oh, when you come to Jesus, He's going to take care of all your problems. So that if you are born again and you are poor materially, you are living in sin. You see, when you have there's nothing, for example, that concerns being born again with having money. Nothing. In fact, Paul warned us against people like those kind of people. Is there anybody that teaches you that gain is godliness? Anybody that is teaching you, attaching the reason why you should have to the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, he says you should withdraw from such a person. This teaching. And let me tell you something. What a particular generation permits becomes the culture of the next generation. Now, if there's something you will not be able to take away easily from a people, it is their culture. Are we together? Look at this. It took Moses 40 years and he still could not take away the culture of idol worship from the Israelites. Journey. A journey they were supposed to in a month and some days. It took them 40 years. Yet all those generations, they perished. Paul has to tell us why those generations perished in 1 Corinthians 10. He says they all tempted Christ. They tempted God. Their unbelief. They have their minds in something else. So if there's something you will have to labor to take away from people, is their culture. Some people have formed the culture of not praying. It takes time. Now, the one that is not praying is not the one to agree with. It takes time. It takes time is a message to the one trying to impart the culture of what? Of prayer. Because there's trouble. When the one that is not praying is the one seeing it as, it takes time. So there's only difficult to collect from people, difficult to take it from the people, it is their culture. Some people already have the, look at this, of the moment something does not look good, they murmur at their leaders. And that culture is prevalent in Nigeria. Before you know it, this person is responsible. See what this person has done to us. See what there. And they are talking about a president, or someone that does not even know you. So why is the price of this high today? Is this person that is destroying our life? Look at what Tinubu is doing to us. Look at what Tinubu. Shut up. Responsible. Of placing blame on others. Because now you are not able to take responsibility. That is not a Christian. Because of some teachings that the old has permitted, it has become a culture. We are dealing with another culture currently in the nation. We are dealing with a perverted culture of having no respect for leadership. People now find it very easy. Sometimes you see on social media, sometimes you see somebody, and then the person is making a skit out of mockery of the president. Am I peering behind, justifying policies and practices and all of that of the leadership? Obviously, no. We all know what entails in the nation. Corruptive practices and all that. Are we together? There is a disposition of the Christian. A Christian has a disposition. And so that when you're talking like this, it looks strange. People are like, what do you mean by the disposition of a Christian? It is because there's a culture that the people are used to. You are. So, Jesus had to use the word disciple
Jesus had to use the word disciple. So it's a diligent work. Discipleship goes into the mind of the student and reconfigures it. Then he says, what you are discipling with is God's word. Not just your own opinions. Just do. They meet a people, then they change the way of their thinking and put their own way of thinking. No. Work done. He says, disciple with God's word. So sometimes, because the previous older generations did some things, it becomes a culture. And the culture is difficult to change. It takes prayer to change certain cultures. Consistent prayer. So people have promised you the Christianity of ease. When you get born again, it's going to take away all of your problems. Who said it? The one you are saying will take care of your problem, himself has problems. You don't know Jesus has challenges. Jesus himself has challenges on the earth. So much about taking away of your problems. It will take away your problems. So they paint an image of a blissful, sweet, a bed full of roses, everything. Like when you get born again, angels will just come, lift your leg, lift your right leg and your left leg, and move your hand and all that. I let one preacher was saying that, oh, I don't struggle. Shut up! I'm throwing my Bible at you. Oh, I don't struggle. Then he began to say things like, oh, they're in this kingdom. In this kingdom. Sometimes I'm like, how is everybody the same God? Am I really the same God with this fellow? This guy's mouth is very sweet too. The person of it is not a sweet, you don't want to go and sweet mouth people. Don't sweet mouth people. This guy's mouth is very sweet. Oh, in this kingdom? He even went and said that angels were the one that does his house chores. I'm not joking. And as he was saying it, you will hear the whole congregation say, you hear the sound of the congregation. Ooh, everybody's wowed. Until you start going home and your tire is deflated and you have to if you wait for an angel to change it for you, you will wait here. Then an angel that came, it was like, and I was listening, life, and I was, yeah, this guy is a liar. Don't explain God's words. Don't make it loose. I was angels that were washing his clothes. He said it, I'm not joking, that it is angels that irons his clothes. That is just anytime he leaves a meeting like this, leaves the meeting, and then he has gone about the work of the ministry, and then he does all that, tired, he just goes to sleep. And by the time he wakes up, his clothes are ironed. Better find a brother that came to do that and say thank you. He hears the angels with shiny shoes. That, look at this. Is it not polish and sin only? Don't be lewd polish. Is it heavenly one? If I pour dust, you know, go stay. He says, look at my shoes. He says, angels are high on this clothes. You can come and touch it. But I put scissors, Christianity is not like that. Are we together? Coming to Christianity.
Christianity is not what? Like that. I'm starting this way because of the way I want to end this teaching session. Are we together? It's not like that. Things move forward through what? Efforts. Efforts. And when you live in an environment where not everybody agree with you, then you have some war to fight. Some of it is the war of not being accepted. Some of it is the warfare of persecution. Staying true to your cause in the midst of persecutions, oppositions, slander, mockery, accusations, neglect. Some people, because of your commitment to the ministry, then you begin to, they begin to neglect you at home. On your circle of friends, they begin to neglect you. Praise God. That is Christianity. See, the emblem of Christianity, are we together? The emblem of Christianity is not, what do you call this thing that people go to when they want a nice base that they sleep on? It's not a spa. No, is it spa? Huh? Sauna. Sauna. S-H-S-A-U-N-A. No. Ladies should know. Spa, Abby. I go with the ladies. It's sauna. Oh, it's sauna. You say it's sauna. Where is Brosam? You don't know. What about Sister Domio? You two don't know. God bless you. If those two don't know, I'm quiet. Praise God. But you know what I'm talking about? Where is just, you just want to take a break. Then they put a melon. Is it melon? No, a cucumber. Sorry. It's not melon. It's far. So they put cucumber on top of your eyes, have you? They slice it, they put it there. That's not Christianity. Are we together? And some of our parents think that's how Christianity is. No. It's not. See, that's not the emblem of Christianity. Like, just take a snapshot of that, then you put that logo of Christianity. No. I mean, if Christianity were to be pleasure, that's the perfect example. We just snap you like that, bram, and distribute it. But the emblem, as it were, of Christianity is a cross. When you see cross, are you listening to me? When you see cross, you see sacrifice. When you hear sacrifice, you hear inconvenience. Are we together? Inconvenience, not just that, inconvenience for the sake of others. Inconvenience for your sake is not sacrifice. I hope you know. What do we call that? That's investment. When you inconvenience because of yourself, that's investment. But when you are in cause of others, that is what? Sacrifice. So the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ is something that is to be learned. We learn it. We learn it. Are there good times
where you say, oh, it's the best time to be born again.
Yes.
No, you say, oh, it's the best time to be alive. Sure. There are moments like that. Oh, it's what a great time to be a minister of the gospel. How was that teach today? Instead of it is a fine, say, we trust God. When your answer is, we trust God, they are, ah. Who had asked you? Or maybe as we were preaching, oh, no one has told me that before. I said, you don't come there again. Some of you know someone has poured pepper on me before, on our teach. Pepper. Pepe. Lee Pepe will not. I'm sure he was targeting my face. And was a boy, dear body. As just I saw the red, but I just say, hey, would you marry me? I thought the terror, he was. No shake. I didn't know how I got to. What do you say? You now walk from outreach to home. And there wasn't a place where there was a brother. I said, Oga, the brother would have given you shirt. Maybe another shirt. Praise God. You pour pepper on me. They have stole me before an outreach. Yes. And I went back there. I went back to that same location. I didn't say, I said, let's do a prophetic action. I said, pour pepper on you, I just call whatever. Taste the pepper. On the scale of 1 to 10, how peppery is it? Say, it's 10. You know, as far to the Agabus took Paul's girdle and tied it, and they saw with the man that has this cloth be tied in Jerusalem. We just take the pepper. They take pepper to prayer meeting. Then we just raise the prayer among the saints. Oh God, my Father, oh God, as I begin to pray, let the pepperiness of this pepper be a foretaste of a peppery life. No. Just went back there. Because that's the faith of our Lord Jesus. Praise God. So, Philemon 6 says, the communication of your faith becomes what? Effective. So, that means God's word makes you effective at communicating your faith. Is it clear? Now, the use of the word effectual already shows effort. Are we together? Did you know that the word effective or effectual is from the word effort? Huh? So, it already shows effort. So, that means we make progress in the faith through effort. And one of the first points of effort is effort at learning the word. So look at me, church. Look at me, everybody. See. Learning God's word requires effort. Is it clear? Don't claim that, they are going to study their Bible in the room. They are not serious Christians. Here's what I'm saying. Christianity is learned. Are you with me? You learn the faith. You don't. If you are told to learn something, that means you can't just do what you feel like. Is it clear? If we were all, look at this, if we were all to be doing Christianity the way we felt like, books would not be written to us. The books contain instructions. If it was just about doing it the way you feel like. So, the faith is to be learned. And learning the faith requires effort. So, Paul says, I will not have you to be ignorant. It takes effort. Yeah, effort on the side of the teacher. Also, effort on the side of the one who is learning. In Hebrews 5 and 12, we see that knowledge thereby makes us effective. So, to be effective, it requires to learn. And then that learning makes us to be effective. Are we together, church? So, in Matthew 28, it says to go and make disciples. Disciples means thinking will start changing. Discipleship means the way you are thinking about it will start what? Changing. That's discipleship. Discipleship means your approach will get adjusted, will become adjusted. There will be adjustments to your approach because now you are knowing more. And to whom much is given, can expect more, right? Right? Praise God. So we're looking at the concept of Christian meetings. And that shows you that much of what we do in the faith requires effort. Those who do not make efforts in their Christian lives, look at me and hear this very carefully. Two things happen to them. Those who do not make consistent efforts in their lives, the first thing that happens to them is that after a while, they get swept away. Now you think that's bad until you hear the second. Should I tell you the second? After they have been swept away for a while, so you can see. After a while, when they stop giving effort, after a while, they become what? Swept away. They backslide. Praise God. When they stop giving effort, putting effort, after they get swept away, then if they are not brought back, if they are not restored, if no one goes after them, or they don't respond to the people who came after them, if they don't repent, if they are not restored, after a while, they themselves become enemies of the gospel. Sometimes, the gospel that they once preached. If they were preachers, the gospel that they once preached, I would not be like that. Do you get it? Stop making effort.
Christianity is about making consistent efforts. Tell your neighbor, say, don't stop. Tell someone, say, don't stop. Say, Lala, say, do not stop.
Don't stop.
So what efforts are you calling putting into your faith? Did you know coming into service today is effort? You know that? You know that? You know it takes some effort to be in your service, right? Right? It takes effort. If you don't know that it takes effort to be in church service, try to have somebody else in service. Try to have someone else in service. Service in a place where they already know that they are not coming to get entertained. Try to have them in service. The amount of effort it takes you, by the time you discover that, it takes effort to have somebody in service. Father, it actually takes effort for me to be in service. Though. But the issue with you is that the strength, the compassion, the zeal, the love of God in your heart has made you to not see it that way. And overcome the feeling of the strength, the conviction of God's Spirit in your heart. Your spiritual maturity has made you to not see it as what? Stress. Your spiritual maturity. That's why sometimes when you have people in church, you bring people in church, sometimes I'll just tell the fellow, I said, that area, don't go there today. Let's see how many people of those people that you have been bringing to church will come around. That's a measure, a feedback of your work of spiritual development in their lives. So, how many people showed up by themselves? That is a sign of growth. Growth cannot yet be measured when you are the one. Effort. It takes effort. Praise God. Jesus says to go make disciples means we will train people to demonstrate effort at the things of the faith. And one of the things that we demonstrate effort towards is our gathering together. Our gathering together. Praise the Lord. Our gathering together. Our coming together. Our meeting together. In Matthew 28, I said last 2 weeks that God has given us a duty to make disciples. To make disciples. To train people to do God's word. To train people to walk in what God has commanded. Are we together? And one of such commands that we have is concerning what? Christian meetings. So we looked at Mark 16. Let's look at that text. Let me speak from there today. In Mark 16, we see in 15, Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. They dig any deadly thing shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick. And the sick, it says, they shall recover. Praise God. Now I told you that what we just read in Mark 16, it says, these signs will follow them that believe. So they are signs of the believer. I told us that the sign of a believer is not only known or seen in some
some other things like, oh, I think that this fellow is a Christian. He says, why do you think he's a Christian? He says, can't you see the way he dresses? He dresses. Are we together? So, do Christians dress responsibly? Yes. Are we together? Are we together? One who dresses, a lady, the one who dresses, and the clothes leaves open the navel. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? That is not a Christian. Did you get what I said? That is not what? A Christian. He's not calling himself a Christian. The guy that dresses and the trouser here. The trouser is here. There's a burden on the trouser. The trouser is here. Are we together? Maybe the belt is in the lake of fire. He has forgotten it. Either he forgot it or it went ahead of him. You don't want to go. So his trousers are here. God knows why. Praise God. Only God knows why his trousers are here. Why? I could see, and it's the angels. The angels are like, what is happening to that brother that is going down the street? And another angel is saying, what is it? The other angel is saying, I don't know, but look at that. What is happening in Tanki? There's a brother in Tanki. What is happening to me? Another angel is trying to pacify the angel. What's happening? Come back. He said, I don't know. I just saw a guy. He's strong as I am. Yeah. And he's carrying what looks like a Bible. Oh God. Then the other angel said, oh God. But what life believers come to is praying, oh God. So that is not a Christian. And every 2 minutes, he's putting it off. He's putting it off. Are you fine? Why not belt is a product of the brain, and we belt every 2 minutes. It's putting it off. He even talks in his shirt. And his trousers is here. He's putting it off. His boxers are showing. That is not a Christian. That is someone who might be running mad. He's not a Christian. Praise God. Christians don't dress anyhow. Is it clear? So sometimes people say, oh, that guy is a Christian. I say, why is he a Christian? Say, because can't you see he dresses responsibly? Someone had told me before, you know, where I walk, and then by the time we got into conversation, someone just called me. And rather than calling my name, the person just, you know, they call me differently. someone just called me by my company name. Someone say engineer. So the fellow just said, Pastor. So this other guy just looked. He said, hey, that, I've been thinking about it. He said in Yoruba. Mutin Runa and things like that. And then he said, hey, so you pastor? He said, he was asking, do you really pastor or that's what they call you? I said, what does it matter? What does it matter? I'm not asking you to call me that. But obviously, I could trace to the fact that the reason why he felt it ideal, or he felt, his thoughts were made up for
Because somebody here that addressed me as pastor was because before then, he probably saw the way I acted, the way I spoke with people, the way I dressed, the way I do all of that. But the truth of the matter is this. That is not how to recognize Christians. This sign shall follow them that believe. Christians are known through supernatural signs. I told you that, right? So that already. Amen. Now, also, you don't just say, I am known through supernatural signs. Tell you about Jenny. Any month, tell you about Jenny. My shake me from no. I used to. Wife, he calls his kids, he calls the neighbors, he calls everywhere, he calls himself. He calls it anyhow. And he was a pastor of a local assembly. Thank God I didn't get close to any of his members. I would just say, you know, these advertisements they used to do of Martin many years ago. If you don't know the advertisement, I am older than you, yeah. If you don't know the advertisement, they used to have these advertisements. Is it Galaxy or NK? When you're advertising Martin, and those mosquitoes come. And then, not so fast. Not so fast. Then the mother will just come, remove the Martin. They say, Martin! Run for your life! I would have told his members, run for your life! Praise God. So you don't also say, because I have supernatural signs, then I can curse. I can dress anyhow. I can live anyhow. No. Are we together? But look at this. Where I'm going is that those natural things, is it clear? Is not all there is to recognizing Christians. Because now you get to places where they dress moderately. You get to places where you find people that are moral, but not born again. I've met people before. They are not born again, but they don't believe in adultery. I mean, sorry, who should believe in adultery? But I mean, they believe in not committing adultery. I've seen people like that. I've seen people. They are not born again. A lot of people, they are not born again, and they believe that they should not steal. And they actually practice it. They will not steal. They will not lie. So pious. But I know, because I've had conversations with them, that they are not yet born again. So how do you place that? So the signs of the Christian is character and moral reformation. The signs of a Christian is supernatural. Someone says supernatural. That is how you know believers. He says they will lay hands on the sick. That means as a Christian, when someone is sick around you, let's say you are in your house, and then someone tells you, I am sick. Or they tell you that, so-and-so person is sick. And you are there in the house. You don't think like, He says, this person is feeling sick. They say, Or a sibling calls you, and then calls you, and I say, I went to the hospital, and I took a diagnosis, and then I took a test rather, and the results came out, and they said, I have this condition, and then I say, Christians don't say, I am you, Demi Babi. Christians don't say that. Are we together? Because you have supernatural signs. The Christian is quiet, he listens to you. And after you have explained, then the Christian says, all right. I'm going to stand in faith with you. That's your word. I'm going to stand in faith with you. We're going to trust God for healing, right? Have you prayed about it? Can we pray together? Have you been ministering? Can I minister? A Christian is not someone that they call and says, oh, this person is sick. Can you pray for him? He said,
me?
You're not a pastor. No. Me, I'm not a pastor. They say you should pray for the sick. They say, me, I'm not a pastor. Me, I'm not a pastor. No. Praise God. I say, praise God. You don't wait to be told to lay your hands on the sick and command that condition to align with what is said in God's word about. Praise God. I say, praise God. Do you get it? Someone says supernatural signs. Christians are known by speaking in tongues. Praise God. They are known by what? Speaking in tongues. Acts. Look at Acts 10. Am I too slow for you this afternoon? Maybe I'm too slow for you. Maybe I should rush you. You learning something? Acts of Apostles, chapter 10. Am I too boring for you this afternoon? Acts 10. Look at verse 44. Let's read together. Okay. Take verse 45 again. Want to go? Okay. Now, that's Acts 10, right? That's Acts 10, right? Okay. Now, look at Acts 11. Acts 11. Are we together? Acts 11. You know, Acts 11. Now, in verse, read verse 15 and 16 and 17. So how did Peter know that the Spirit of God has been given to the Gentiles? They spoke with tongues. The signs of a Christian. So we said that Christians are known by what? Supernatural signs. Speaking in tongues is part of them. Are known by supernatural signs. Are we there? I know a believer by supernatural. So that means a Christian or a believer is a miracle worker. Do we agree at that? Wait, do I agree at that? Do we agree with that? That a believer is a miracle worker. So believers have signs. Now when you say signs, signs are pointers. Is it clear? Signs are pointers. So the signs are to
that you have believed. So the signs points to the believer. As these signs shall follow them that believe, the signs points to the believer. Obviously, it will also point to what has been believed. But the sign points to the miracle of God in the believer. The sign points to the believer. Together. It is a supernatural indicator that believers have. It's a proof of the resurrection. Amen. We said that. Then we saw that when Jesus gave instructions to the apostles, let's look at one or two things. I'll just read the text, then you pick it up. In Luke 24, when Jesus gave instruction to the apostles, he says in Luke 24, verse 49, verse 47, he gives them an instructions to preach the gospel. So they preach the gospel. 48, you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send upon you, he says, the promise of my Father, but I in the city of Jerusalem, until you be endued with power from on high. Until you be endued with power from on high. Are we together? In Mark, we read it as speaking tongues, cast out devils. What else? Take up serpents, right? Drink that little thing, right? What else? Lay hands on the sick. What do we have in Matthew? Did Matthew mention anything that has to do with the gifts? No, right? No, we can't read it literally, right? Right? What about John? In the words of Jesus to them in the 40 days, did John mention anything that has to do with the spirit, the spiritual? Look at John 20. In John 20, verse 20. And when he had said so, he showed them his hands and his sides. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. 21. Then Jesus said unto them, peace unto you, as my Father sent me, so send I you. That the same as go preach the gospel. 22. When he had said this unto them, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Look at the Acts account. In Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is what? Come upon you. Again, we see the mention of spirit. So in Acts 1, we see the mention of what is spiritual. Is it clear? Pay attention. In Acts 1, we saw that in the 40 days, Jesus must have taught them on things concerning the Spirit. Because now he says, the Spirit will come upon you. Are we together? Then in the same breath, he mentions power will come upon you. We see that in Luke 24, verse 49. He says, until you be power, power will come upon you. Also mentioned spiritual, and call supernatural things. It says, heal the sick through the laying on of hands. There is nothing spiritual about putting hands on something. But it says, when a Christian does what is ordinary, the supernatural will happen. Are we together? Are we together? It says, you will take up serpents. By mentioning serpents already, he already implies something that is charismatic. He already implies the use of an authority over the works of Satan. The authority over the works of Satan would not be a logical, ordinary, natural authority. He speaks of what is supernatural. Are we together? Now, that shows you this, everyone, that through our faith in Christ, there are supernatural realities now in our lives. A fellowship with Christ, or
fellowship, Jesus, fellowship with the supernatural. A fellowship in Christ Jesus. When I come into Christ Jesus, I have also come into a supernatural. Or the word a supernatural is because the supernatural does not only exist in Christ. Is it correct? Is it correct? And I've come into a kind of supernatural. The supernatural. But let's maintain the word the supernatural. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? John says, receive the Spirit. The question is, how do I receive the Spirit? Do I drink the Spirit? Or chew the Spirit? What are you to? The Spirit. Without measure. Then I drink. Are we together? Or who brings zobu and agigi bread? Give you bread, give you zobu. Then when you eat the bread, you are eating Christ. Then give me everything. Or you give me small Christ to eat. He said, no, 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 it's not fine. It's not small. It is small. Look at it. No. It. Oh, oh. So you know it. So why are we eating? If you know faith, say by faith, so you know faith. He said, this bread is the body of Christ. And give me the opak. And he says, this drink, the drink that was the one that bought the sugar that we used to make it and punch. We even put some color in it. I was there when it was not going to be enough. I was the one that bought one bag of pure water. I said, we should add water. We're arguing that it will not be sweet again. Add water, add water, add water. Now that we have prepared it, now say, it's the blood of Christ. Which Christ? Jesus says, take, drink what? All of it. That's what Jesus said, Luke 22. He says, take ye, drink ye all of it. Drink all of it. Like a guy that brought, a lady that brought his fiancé to the priest. And he was lying that that fiancé was a Catholic, certainly. So he was lying that the fiancé was also a Catholic because the priest is not likely going to allow them to marry someone else. No, 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 that he has to be a Catholic. He said he's a Catholic, in fact, that he's just, he has been a Catholic boy. So they just broke the communion. He just bought the communion. But then they gave him that thing to him to chew. Alright? He chew it. Okay, that's fine. Then they gave him cup. He told him to take a sip. And then give the rest to the wife. Or the lady to take a sip. And after he had done everything, he held the cup. He was dropping his thumb. He put the cup down. So he was looking at it, and they were looking at it. Said, you are not a Catholic. You are not a Christian. Lordship. Amen. Are we together? So look at that. Tell your neighbor, say the supernatural. So believers are supernatural. We're looking at Christian meetings. Believers are what? Supernatural. A fellowship in Christ, like I, is a subscription into the supernatural. Are we together? I mean, everybody. If you have believed the gospel, you are not what? Ordinary. You might feel ordinary. Sure now. You feel ordinary. You feel ordinary. But beyond our feelings, it's a supernatural reality. Glory to God forevermore. I told you that when a Christian is saved, or when a man is saved, for example, to read in the Bible is that it begins to read about God. Genesis 1, in the beginning God created heaven and earth. So he reads about God. Who is God? God is a supernatural being. Are we together? God is a supernatural being who created heaven and the earth and man in the earth for his own plans and purposes. God, not defining God. Are we together? Right? So God is a supernatural being. How many of you know that? Don't say, your God is anything that you honor. Your God is anything that you honor. I don't argue with people like that. I don't argue with people like that. You're having a Down syndrome. Together. Yeah, it's a Down syndrome. Because no, it has to be a Down syndrome. Bewitched from within. To say things like that. And then, people like that, and you're trying to show them that the Bible says, don't talk about the Bible, yeah! It's not about the Bible. So, excuse me, what is it about? It's not about the Bible, this is not a religious matter. It's not a religious matter. Yet you are saying your God is. Can't you see that God is already, you're only bringing religious worship? No, this is not about religious matter. Your God is anything you believe. Look at what you just said. It's not about religion, it's about religion. That's what you just said. So, see, there are some arguments that stay away from them. Because when you are done, if you win the argument, we need to check you. It's not even an argument you should engage in. It should not be said of you that you engage the fellow. Let him be. See, don't even try to. No. Sufficient for him is the punishment. The thinking that way is a sufficient punishment for him. Don't add to it. Don't quote scriptures. Before we go into scriptures, that's why today, this time, before I say the Bible says, I'll first of all check you. Sometimes your argument is just economically induced. When you have money, you will not argue that. See, just what you want to tell the fellow. It's not what he's talking about, he's not strong in his heart. Some people, the atheism is just because they don't have money. That's why they are atheists. That's why they are atheists now. You see the person that says, I'm atheist. Because his account is empty. That's when he wants to be arguing Bible with. I make money. That is not worth it. When I see true atheists, I know that this one, this is work. People will argue Bible with you. See, the argument in the Bible is just money. When you put money, something, praise money. That's money to them. Just look at the eyes you open to see what the text is saying. Are we together? That's bread money. You see the agony, all the nerve in their neck. I could do it now. God wants us to prosper. God wants us to prosper. Who is saying God does not want us to prosper? All of you, these people, they have been turning the Bible upside down. You say that from everywhere. Just press him small money. You come now. When you press him money and he don't chop, you now come and sit down and say, the text I was saying yesterday, this is the Greek word. I didn't see it. Vitamin D has cleansed eyes. Or vitamin M. Amen. Are we together? You say, hey, your God is anything you worship. Someone actually told me. He says, how did he even put it? I don't remember those stupid statements. He said, where did you put it? Oh, I'm trying to remember now. He's talking to me about God.
that the concept of God, there was a way he explained it so beautifully. I said, at the end of your life, at the end of your life, all this beautiful grammar, they will wait for you. They wait for you. The grammars will queue up like this. As you stand before the throne of God, the grammars will queue and separate themselves from you. That's it. I will marry you. He was just saying what he liked. Even the grammar will enter heaven. And you will be outside. Are we together? Just trying to carve that. He says, actually, no God, and then there's no Satan. He says, the belief of Satan is he just carved it like that. Don't learn well. Are we together? So look at this. You are a believer. Are you there? I told someone, I said, wait, say me. I'm a believer. He was just looking at me like this. That's who I am. Am I speaking Chinese in your ear? I don't speak Chinese now. I just said, I am a believer. He wasn't trying to catch what I said. What I said, is it Chinese? I said, I am a believer. That means all your doctrine, they came late. I have believed. I have believed. I'm a believer. I already believe in God. Is it clear? I already believe. It's the person that is trying to believe in God. That's the person you should go and meet. Don't come and meet me. Me, I believe already in God. If you come to me and you're sharing the gospel, I'll listen to you. Not because I want to believe the gospel. Are we together? Because I don't mind hearing what I have heard. Are we together? I mean, there are times when they want to preach to me. Sometimes even when what really correct. But I'll just sit down. I'll just listen. But I'll tell the fellow, I'm born again. No. I'll tell the fellow. And the reason why I'm saying I'm born again is perhaps you have a ministry focus that day or that time to get somebody who is not born again saved. You don't have to spend the time on me. But if I won't know that I'm born again, you still want to engage me with the conversion of the gospel, oh fine, we'll have an excellent time. Are we together? But I believed. So I'm now saying that faith in God, because God is a supernatural being. So you cannot claim to believe in God, but you don't believe in the supernatural. You are confused. There are a lot of people out there that do not believe in the supernatural. They don't believe in the supernatural. Are we together? Faith in God is faith in the supernatural. In fact, in the same breath, when you read that God made heaven and earth, then he says it was the earth was void and without form. I'm almost using the right translation. I'm forgetting what is in the original translation. What is in King James translation? It was void. I say it is void. No, the earth was void and without what? Form. And darkness upon the face of the deep, and God and the Spirit of God moved. So again, you see the Spirit of God. Supernatural reality. In it, teaching you. Amen. Supernatural reality. I'll teach you like this. You walk like this. That's an angel. Yes. It's our heritage. Amen. Yesterday, I was where I woke up first yesterday, right? As we were here, so walk as something. Praise God. So look at that. The Spirit of God is a supernatural reality. Supernatural reality. So my faith in Christ is faith in the supernatural. You know, when we ask you, who says, have you believed the gospel? You say yes. He says, oh, now that you have believed the gospel, what happened? Then look at what you say. You say things like, I am now saved. Right? Right? Now obviously, when you say, nobody was running after your life. It wasn't that they sent snipers after you. Are we there? What was his name? Amen. Amen. So, despite the fact that there is no physical danger per se, you still use the word saved. That shows you you believe in the supernatural. Because that saved that you mean, you believe that it is not physical or natural. So, claiming or affirming that I am saved, again, is an utterance that affirms your faith in the word supernatural. Can you see how much supernatural is around us, church? Huh? God, supernatural. You believe in the Spirit of God, right? Now, sometimes we explain, we say, what does it mean to be saved? Then I say things like, that means I am now a child of God. Not even by child of God. Don't you have father and mother? Are we together? Are we together? Then you want to pray. You want to pray. And then you just say, Oh God. Oh. Firstly, you close your eyes. Why? Because you believe that the person you're talking to is not physically there. That's supernatural. Are you picking things up? Then look at what it says. You say, my father. Ah, where's your father? What's your surname? Your surname is Howo Shani. Howo Shani. I don't like that surname. Ah, Howo Shani. He said, Howo Shani. That's your surname. Then he says, where's your dad? And you pick your phone, and then we'll call. Yeah. Baba, what's your name? Yeah. Then we end the call again. He says, but you just said my father. And he said, no. I'm talking about God. Oh. Believe that God is your father. Again, another supernatural reality. Did you see that? Another what? Supernatural reality. Then, to be saved means I have the Spirit of God in me. Then, we look at a Christian who goes for surgery, and then we say, maybe he wants to do CS. Cut it clearly so that the Spirit of God does not gush out. And then, we are looking for the Spirit. We can't see the Spirit. Put him in X-ray. Then, X-ray. Then we bring the essay, whatever. We can only see both. And some dark. And the dark part is not the Holy Ghost. Because medical science then explains to you, say, it's because here there's fluid, that here, there's a tissue, there's tissue here, and then there's other tissue here. Oh, that's bone. Behind the bone, there's a tissue. That's why it's black. This one is gray. It means, can't you see that there's a substance there? So we look at it, and the doctor explains everything on the X-ray, and then we discover that we can't see the Holy Ghost. But you claim that the Holy Ghost is in your heart. Then we say, okay, focus on the heart. Focus on the heart. Then we take X-rays of the heart. We take X-rays, we check it. We go into MRI. We did the most forensic detailed observation. We can't see the Holy Ghost. Then you say, it is actually supernaturally. So, that the Holy Ghost dwells in me is another supernatural. So, how many supernatural realities have you believed? Diverse. Get me? Did you get me? So, look at me. Why then are you with agreeing that something can have a tumor, a fibroid in the womb, a growth in the flesh. Now you are struggling with believing that by doing like this, the condition fibroid can vanish. Why are you struggling to believe that? It's also what? Supernatural.
We're looking at Christian meetings, right? Thank you.
That's also what? Supernatural. Why do you find it difficult? Why do you struggle at agreeing that you can speak in tongues and then go on outreach? And as you sit down to share the word, you can begin to know things about that person that nobody told you about. Things that the fellow had not told anybody. Why then do you struggle to minister those things? I say, I don't know if it is me or it is what? The Holy Ghost. Have you had someone done like that before? Dada, I'm feeling like it's me or it's the Spirit of God. Why? Why do you talk like that? Look at it. When you place your hand on the sick, is that you or the Spirit of God? I don't want to commit blasphemy. When you speak in tongues, is that you or the Spirit of God? Oh yeah, Team Spirit of God. Let me see your hand. Team Spirit of God. Oh yeah, Team You. Can I see your hand? Because you have been taught. I changed my teaching. It's actually the Spirit of God. Praise God. No, but look at it. Is it you? Are you enabled by the Spirit? Without the Spirit, can you do it? So is that not the Spirit? With these few points of mine. Are we together? So is it me? Is it the Holy Ghost? Is it the Holy Ghost? Is it me? Am I the Holy Ghost? Are we together? Is it God? Is it me? Is it me? Is he also God? Am I God? No. But we are one. That unity produces activities. So that unity takes away the sickness. The same way that unity got tongues out of your mouth. The same way that unity, are we together? That means that unity leads you in life. So you don't say me or the Holy Ghost. What matters is that I and the Holy Ghost, we are one. And this is laid on my heart to do. Then do it. According to God's word. You learn something. So look at it. I say I have an inheritance in Christ. Isn't it? I have an inheritance in Christ. Someone commits an offense and then he's in the jail. Maybe it's a national offense or it's an offense against the government, or the law enforcement gets involved and then they put him in jail, a criminal in jail. Then we go on prison evangelism. Then we meet that brother who is a prisoner in the jail, and then we preach the gospel to him. And then he believes the gospel. What do we tell him? Forgive him. Imagine we say, let's go out of the jail. Let's out. Why is he doing it? Come, don't worry, come. We are going to end up in the jail with him. We will join him. Are we together? Oh, so the forgiveness is supernatural. Do you get it? You know, the government also does not say, maybe the judge then comes and says, The warder comes and says, hello, sir. There are some people from One Life Believer Coming Church that have come to preach the gospel to people and they have believed. What do we do about it? And then maybe some judges just come and say, bring those guys who have believed, share with us your salvation experience. They say, his name is Peculiar. As he preached, believe. He now says, and I believe. After I now believe and believe, finally and believe, I believe. Then the judge says, that means your sins are forgiven. Then I didn't forgive him. You can now go. Are we together? Remember me, Lord, in thy kingdom. Today I say unto you, you shall meet me in paradise. He didn't say you can come down now. Did you get what I said? Did you get what I said? He didn't say, so what are you still doing by me? If I were you, okay, is that the right hand? If I were you, I would have come down now. No. He died for an offense he committed in the physical. But before God, he is justified. So it shows you the forgiveness of sins I receive is also what? Supernatural. Is it clear? Is it clear? It's supernatural. That's why I'm usually weary of some folks that teaches the doctrine of conversion. They say, that your realities are supernatural, but you can combat it. When it says we are blessed with spiritual blessings in heavenly places, he said, yes, we know there are spiritual blessings, but we can combat it. Ask them, what do you convert it to? The first thing they say is, you're just hungry. Say, we can't convert it. Convert what? You are just an elite. Have we together? Convert what? He said, hey, can we go into our spiritual bank and download if they catch you? You think it's currency conversion? If they catch you, he said, can we not go into a spiritual bank? You know, that means spiritually, he says, you are blessed. I think you can. He said, you are blessed. Don't say you are blessed. Don't say blessed. Don't say that. He said, we are blessed. That means, God, what Paul was trying to tell the church. Don't say what Paul was trying to tell the church. How do you know what he was trying to tell the church? Are you in his heart? Are you in his heart? Are we together? He said, that means what Paul was trying to tell the church, is that you have dollars in the spirit. You have Cadillac in the spirit. He shows a poverty mentality. If it were to be natural poverty, it would be better. But it's actually a spiritual poverty. To think that the wealth of God is human currency. Human currency. You see, as I was reading my Bible, then he lied. The Spirit of God took me as I saw as Paul was writing. Lori Ro. Lori Ro. Yeah, I was made to go in. You know, Paul wanted to write something else, but Paul changed his mind. I like it. Who get this dog? Amen. Are we together? So look at this. Supernatural. When a believer dies, what do we see? I said the last meeting. We said he has gone to be with the Lord and his body is here. So again, supernatural. You know, I can keep going on and on, right? To show you that faith is actually a subscription
in the supernatural. Let me see a few more things and then I'll close for today. Are we together? So, in Matthew 18, in verse 18 to 20, Jesus then says, where two or three people are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Again, is that supernatural? Natural? So, to believe the word, is to believe in. We also believe, for example, we believe in the rapture. Are we together? How many of you believe in the rapture? I believe in the rapture. Like I told you, not as many teach it. Not as many explain the rapture. Amen? I don't believe in that kind of rapture. So they said, there's going to be an Antichrist. A cruel guy. And when you watch the films of the Antichrist, it's usually a black man. You know, they believe Satan is actually black. And Jesus is white. Jesus has fair complexion. Who knows, maybe he has fiber marks. He actually does have fiber marks. It's okay. But look at it. So, the doctrine that there's an Antichrist that is coming, and then that he will give everybody. He's a bankman. He's Mark. Now his Mark is 666. I remember when we discovered that, oh, he's not it. We wanted to actually go and write 666 on our body to show that that's not the sign of the Antichrist. I think that's actually troubling my head. Those things. Praise God. So, with that teaching of an Antichrist that will come, that he will have horn. And then you have a long tail. The tail itself, we have the mouth of the tail.
Anybody that does not believe that person itself, I told you that Antichrist. Only that. But we believe in the rapture. We believe in the rapture. Look at this. We also believe in angels. Right? We believe in angels. We also believe that there is Satan, right? Do we also believe that there are
demons? Do we believe that? Do we believe that? So it shows you that we are acting. Sure. Now let me ask a question. Are we in the midst of the supernatural because of our gathering, or that is just how the earth is? Earth is. Are we together? So, can we say that everywhere man is found, the supernatural is around? Are you with me? Everywhere man is found, supernatural is around. If man is found on the mountain, supernatural there? Supernatural there? In the seas? In the air? So look at this. Man actually lives in a supernatural world. And there are demons. And there are angels. And there's Satan. We also believe that there is God. Glory to God forevermore. And not just that, all of these entities that I mentioned, they are actively working. So there's not just the supernatural, there's also supernatural activities going on. When I am sleeping, supernatural activities are going on the earth. Are we together? For those who do not believe in the supernatural, there's the supernatural activities going on what? Around them. Is it clear? And look at it. Lastly, that I mentioned, is that we also believe that man is supernatural. Man is supernatural. Glory to God forevermore. I said glory to God forevermore. So in Matthew 18, Jesus then says, where two or three people are gathered in my name, he says, there I am. Supernatural. So we said, believers are supernatural beings. Believers have supernatural signs. Believers engage supernatural activities. What does it mean by engage supernatural activities? Look at me now. Look at me. See, as I stand here right now, are you with me? I can start a supernatural activity. You will not see it with your physical eyes, but it is working. The same way he is seated there, you can also initiate a supernatural activity. The issue many times is this. If we have believed so much in the supernatural, if we have so subscribed to the supernatural by just believing in Christ, why then do we struggle around supernatural things? Then the issue is this. The challenge with many Christians is the failure to maintain a consistent culture of consciousness of the supernatural. The culture of consistently being conscious. Amen. Did you get it now? The culture of consistently being conscious. I'll say it again. The failure or the lack of the culture to consistently be conscious of the what? The supernatural. So many times, the challenge with the Christian is the consciousness challenge. Because really, you have fellowship, do fellowship, you have subscribed into the supernatural. So look at this. What happens in a Christian meeting? Because that's what concerns us, right? That's where we're going. In a Christian meeting, in a believer's gathering, it's a gathering of supernatural people. Yeah. They can start or initiate supernatural activities. Look at me, everybody. Look at me. Can we also stop a supernatural activity that we probably did not initiate? So, in a meeting, look at me now. In a meeting or two, see, you don't need more than two believers. Is it two or what? Three. Can we also say or more? But it is minimum. It says two or three. Any two Christian is sufficient to stop a supernatural activity. Occultic activities, demonic attacks, afflictions, oppressions of Satan. Are we together? Any two Christians. Now, one of them could be the one suffering. He didn't say any two Christians who are not. He didn't put condition. He says, so far you are gathered in my name. Two or three of you. In other words, it can even be that one is the one with the condition. And the other one is just in faith with him or her. That gathering, any two, is sufficient to what? Of another gathering that contains 3,000.
What makes, look at this, that gathering of two to be less or more effective will be the level of their what? Consciousness. If I have a gathering of three who have a sound supernatural consciousness, they will get more done than the gathering of 50 who does not have a sound supernatural consciousness. So Paul said, concerning spirituals, I will not have it to be what? Ignorance. And ignorance, he talks to a church that already sees the gift operating. So the gift can be operating amongst us, yet we are ignorant. Some churches or some settings, you see gifts of the Spirit operating, but still they are not able to maximize it. Operations, so we are just fine with having the gift. You speak in tongues and then you prophesy and you see visions. So what? Do you know its operations? The supernatural. Any two what? Or three. Do we have more than two or three here tonight? This morning? This afternoon? Do we have two or three this afternoon? Do we have two or three afternoon? Are we got? So, shall it? Who shall it? Didn't we buy? Thank you. Something cannot be said in English. Praise God. Okay, can we? Oh, can we bind and loose here? You see, that one came Paul. Can we bind and loose here? Can we bind and? About the text you just read. Look at that text. Matthew 20. Matthew. Christian meetings. Some people don't know. That's how you come to church. You come to church. The moment you get to church, you want to sit down. And then the usher. Can you sit down here? I want to sit down here. The moment you said, "I would like to sit down here," you have hurt the flow. Because you are illiterate. I want to sit down here. You come to service, there were two of you. No. I want my friends. Hurting the flow, the move of the Spirit. You can't. That's why we're teaching. So you must not be ignorant of meetings. I'll show you as you go home. You cannot. So say, the service starts at 4 p.m. And don't worry. They usually pray 4 to 4:30. By 4:30 we can start going. You cannot receive it. Can't. You can't. You're even affected the fact that you came at the time the meeting was starting. The fact that you came at the time the meeting was starting, your receiving is already affected. Are we together? Because you don't know how to receive in a meeting. You don't know. You're not taught how to receive. There's a way to receive. Are we together? Part of the ways to receive in a meeting is to be at the front. You don't know. Oh, you don't know. I'll teach you a lot of things. To receive is to find your way to sit where? At the front. Closest. Don't say, I'm not going to stress myself in this kind of meeting. I'm not going to stress myself. I'm just going to find a seat somewhere. So you sit at the 60th row. To the front. That seat is for those. Amen. It's not for you. That's what I wanted to say. That's it. Are you listening to me? Are you listening? Are you understanding what I'm saying? So look at that. I want to show you a context. Read from verse 15, that text. So is it dealing with biding and losing? Any two or three people. Look at what it says. Read that, read. Let me correct something there. Whatsoever thou shalt what? Bind what? On earth. And whatsoever thou shalt what? Lose on earth. Shall be loose where? Are we together, church? So heaven there has to do with the immaterial. Look at me. Can you see how the physical affects the what? Immaterial. You see how the physical affects the immaterial. So we're looking on Thursday what you see. Motion supernatural what? Active. Because you are a supernatural being. So look at this. And I'll begin to close. Any two or three gathered in my name has to do with any kind of gathering of believers. Any kind of believers gathering. It could be to pray. It could be to teach. It could be to heal. It could be to wait on God. It could be to evangelize. Believers' gatherings. Glory to God. So look at this. Did you know that as Christians, we can meet in clubs? Did you know that? Did you know that people can have a club meeting, and then when we find out those who came for the club meeting, we're like, oh, there's actually Christians amongst them, right? That doesn't make it a Christian meeting. Amen. We can have organizational meeting, right? Meeting. Organization. With your staff. Now it depends on the kind of business you run. Some of you are the only, what's it called, staff of your business. Someone said, if you see me walking in the street, I'm talking to myself, leave me alone. I'm having a staff meeting because I'm self-employed. Street, and just let me be. I am self-employed and I'm having a staff meeting. That kind of meeting. Are we together? I'm talking about where two or three are physically gathered. They are not gathered in your mind. You know, there's a way you can be having a meeting in your mind and there are 10 people there. Now, I'm not even saying maybe you have 10 demons in you. No. I mean, in your thoughts, there are 10 people there. And you're talking to each one of them. Why are you talking like that? You are collecting people in your mind. That's a serious issue. But I'm talking about 2-3 physical meetings. This is also not an online meeting. 2-3 physically gathered. Look at what it says. We can gather as a family. Family meeting, right? Family meeting, right? Family. And the father is there, the mother is there, then you're there, then the siblings are there, and you are discussing. A family meeting. It is a family meeting. Are we together? Now, in every of those meetings, each person usually have their functions.
You know, you can also have class meeting, departmental meeting in your place of work. In your school, you can have a faculty meeting, level meeting. So it says, we're having escorts meeting in the department, executives of the department. You can have a club meeting. What other meeting do you have? Name it. What other meeting do you have? You can have association meeting. Maybe you belong to a body of association, professional or non-professional. Then you're meeting. It says Kuala State Chapter of so Society of Nigeria. Are we together? And then you're meeting. What other meetings do you have? You know, you can also thank you. Parents and teachers, what? Association. You also have meeting. And the parents are around. And then the teachers are also there. And then they are being addressed. PTA, right? Right? You know, some of those meetings, you have the secretary, isn't it? Then you have you can have the chairman for that particular meeting. Then which other one? Which other one? Huh? I've only had landlord meeting. I'm not out of tenant. So. I think the tenant meeting is not usually called. It happens randomly. It just starts. If nobody calls it, it just starts. Praise God. I said, praise God. So you can have all kinds of meetings. Then there's also what? Meetings. And don't forget I said that in those meetings, there's usually there's somebody that is doing something. Is it clear? Functions. And we respect those functions. So he says, where we are gathered together in his name. So this particular meeting is different because it's in his name. It's a meeting for his purposes. So he says, he is there in our midst. In Matthew 28, I showed you, he says, he is with us. Lo, I am with you always. So we said, God amongst us is actually God with us. Glory to God forevermore. God amongst us is actually God with us. Is God with us. Glory to God. God with us. So, in a church service is where two or three people are meeting. It doesn't have to be 10. It doesn't have to be 20. It doesn't have to be 50. It can be 2 or 3. And that's the church service. And he wants us to maintain a supernatural consciousness that there he is. The word of God. There he is. That means this meeting is not a family meeting. Like you have it in your homes. Christian meetings is not a family meeting. Are we together? It is not that you're having a family meeting because it's a family meeting. It's not that let us meet. We are meeting at 10. And then they will come and wake you up. Like Tom and Jerry. That's snoring. All this family meeting. In church meetings, it's different. Praise God. If it's family meeting, you can let them wear anything. It's family. That is a weird thing. Are we together? I mean, I'm here to see a family meeting. And says, we're having a family meeting. Let's just have a family meeting. And then everyone just dress with knot and tie. And use peps. And, you know. Is that because you're meeting extended family? That's when you do all of those things. I mean, the children of sources are coming. So your parents is here. No, you are not wearing that. I want you to show that. So you do all that. It's a family gathering. Someone told me, says, at the end of the year, we usually have this family get together. You know. So 2 months to the end of the year, like, so that your neck will not be. Which ministry are you doing? Yeah. You are trying to gain weight. The family meeting. Praise God. But in church meeting, you don't dress anyhow. Did you know that? See, Not knowing that is why you have some people show up on Sunday morning, and as they are coming to church, they can't enter through the entrance because their hedge is too large. The little too big. So the entrance is struggling with their head tie. Some other people will come in, and then they will wear. It's not them that wear the clothes now, it's the clothes that wore them. I'm not speaking against looking good and beautiful and handsome in service. But hey, church service has a tone to it. What does it have? A tone. Look at this. I'll just say this. One of the ways to not dress for a service, are you with me? Is don't wear something that makes somebody else start feeling bad for not having something good to wear. Now, someone say, what is something good? Obviously, what is generally accepted as good? Are we together? Because now, you dress modestly, and someone is showing. Is there? Pastor said we should not dress in the way that will make the other person to feel that he has dressed. Like, means I will wear, and that new person will enter. That's even if we allow into the church. We just sight you from the CCTV. You guys see? I can see that sister down there. Go to the church next street. Are we there? What is generally accepted? There's a way to not dress. It's for meetings. For service. You don't show up and then you have, what's it called? This headset. You know this large headset? You have it on. And you are playing a bedroom. Where are you going? Say, I'm going for church service. I'm going to church service. That there's a way to show up in the church service because it is not a casual meeting. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. So in that meeting, there are functions as well. In the meeting. So there is a tone that is the attitude to the meeting. Are we together? Your appearance does not unedify the other. Your appearance does not affect you badly. Yes. So you dress well, moderately, and then you look good. Today, how do you dress moderately? You can put up as a brother. You can put up a pair of trousers. Are we together? Amen. And then you can wear your shirt. Your shirt and your trousers. Then you tie it in. That's moderate. You can decide to put a touch of a necktie. That's a little bit of a more gentleman style. Oh, I want to put it. That's acceptable. Put a jacket on it. As a sister, you can wear your trousers. I would just say, trouser. It was my friend that did it, though. I won't do such a thing. It was my friend that did that. We had gone to preach somewhere. So the person was bent on. They will not allow you to preach in this church. They will not allow you to preach in this church. I didn't know he was going to mention it. By the time I followed him to preach, he was the one to preach. By the time they handed him the mic, he just said, even the people that are shouting closer, are they not wearing tights? And that's the truth. You see, or you think that angels are blind?
You are a hypocrite. And he says, trouser is a lie. You are wearing trouser. You are not wearing trouser. Are we together? Then he says, no. I only wore when I was expecting my child. That was disobedience. That is disobedience. Maybe that's why your child is lying. And not letting the children's church to rest. Praise God. There's nothing wrong with wearing trousers. I think I'm saying that for the first time this way in the church. Are we together? I'm actually saying it like this for the very first. There's nothing wrong with wearing trousers. I remember then when my sisters, three sisters, and then they were like, hey, mommy is not allowing us to wear trousers. Then mommy, I just go there. I was there. What's happening? This girl, they said, what's happening now? Then daddy just said, and then it was mommy that was now worse. Me that you want to wear trousers. I mean to my mom, I said, you that you want to wear trousers. You are now the one that is worse. Is it obvious to push it small? Who's it? I engaged the conversation, talked, we went back and forth. By the time I was done, I said, I just let them wear. Trouser is nice. Is it not nice, sisters? Yeah. Are we together? Now, that is fine. Go on with your gown and buba and the robe and all that. God bless you. You will enter heaven too. Oh, and you will see us there too. Praise God. I said, praise God. Who are we saying that went to trouser and whatever? What was I saying? Huh? So, appearance. So, yeah, a lady, you can put on your trousers, you can put on your blouse. Are we together? You can put on your gele, you can put on. Let's just be moderate. We all know what is moderate in our world today, right? 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 We all know what is moderate in our world. So that is how to dress to me. You say, hey, today is, I'm going to dress to. I want to dress to. You, wife. You will just become lost wife. She will explain to you. Praise God. So we don't do that to church. You say, you dress to dinner. Cool. Church service is not dinner. I didn't say go to dinner. Some of the dinners you go to is not dinner. It's actually sacrifice. Are we together? It's sacrifice. It's not dinner. Amen. Amen. You're going to attract all sorts of nonsense. Flies and all of that. Just because you are insisting and all of that. You just a godly woman. You don't find that. They say, why are you not coming to dinner? I'm not doing dinner. Why is dinner at night? It's sacrifice. That's an altar. Do dinner in the morning. I'm evangelism. I remember a disciple, someone I used to disciple in UI. He said, I want to go to dinner. I won't mention her name. He said, I want to go to dinner. He said, who we have the evangelist? He was bent on going to dinner. I didn't know what she wants to go and do. She just wants to go and interact with people and then, you know, this is the spirit of the age. Well, there's nothing wrong in having social functions. Are we together? But I spoke to you about atmospheres before now. Is it clear? You will not lose your sanity. Amen. How then do you call the fellow and say, hey, I'm trying to preach to you after the dinner? You're walking in. Are we together? Just don't. So you have to go. Praise God. But church services are different. That's the point. Dress moderately. Church services is not a place to show your expensive items. Because it is not old students' reunion, what? Association reunion.
old student. You know, old student thing. When you say, ah, they are doing a 1990 something set, it's a lie. They want to measure you. That's what they want to do. They want to measure you. They want to see whether your life has moved forward. It's a lie. That they are doing old student association. We want to do our alumni. We want to do a reunion. It's a lie. They want to measure you for the scale of 1 to 10. This is not. That's why I don't go. Partly because are what? Different. The meetings of a church are unique in themselves. I need to close here. Is it clear? Is it clear? So, aside from the tone, so you know what I mean by tone now. Your attitude, your appearance, your courage, your motive, your comportment. In church meetings. Paul, see, speaking on that. Some folks, when we tell them, sit here, say, you can tell me that. You can tell me that. And it's usually women that does that. I don't know their problem. You can tell me that. I'm going to sit. No, this is where I want to sit. They'll sit down there. And then they will quietly, you came to church for the first time in your life. I mean, this is your first time in church. You're already quarreling with your church. I'm not going to sit there. Sit there. How? And then the other day when you went to the embassy to get visa, somebody that is not even up to the age of your last... Is this... Omili or Omali? He says, oh no, it's Omali. It's Omali. Oh, it's not Omili. Someone that is not up to the age of a younger sister, he's a man. He says, okay, why didn't you write your name well? I'm sorry. I wrote it well. Did you write this well? I'm sorry. He said, and why are you sitting there? He said, no, I thought someone told you to sit down there. Okay, I will sit down there. No. Say, no, don't worry. I'll sit down there. I'm sorry, ma. Because you want to get visa. And then you are a fake Christian. You don't have a recognition of church meeting. Praise God. So the very first thing we saw is that it's a supernatural gathering. Because I need to close. Or is a gathering of supernatural people. Is it clear? Is it clear? That is the tone. That is the tone. That is the tone. Don't forget we said there are also functions there, right? Functions. There are functions in the meetings. Imagine that in your organization, let's say you have a friend in the organization, but now you are having a board meeting. And your friend is, let's say your friend is actually the chairman of the board meeting, and you are performing something different in the same office, in the same company. Then your friend gives an instruction in that. Then you hear him say, Padi, you really will care about me. Are we together? Much to the HR. What happened there? Now, is he your friend? Is that a casual meeting? Can we say at that moment your recognition or your consciousness is supposed to switch?
that this is my friend, but in this place is not functioning as what? My friend. He's functioning as what? As the chairman. Does that make sense to you? Functions. I'll give you one more example. Imagine you are in a business setting again. I love business settings, okay? So imagine you're in a business setting again, and then you are discussing how, you know, you're discussing a new year, end of the year meeting, or a new year meeting, and discussing how the year, the company is going to do mistakes that you made in the previous time, how you're going to do pitching, and then suddenly, allow, let's say, the manager or the CEO, or instead of you to bring somebody, let me tell you, instead of you to bring somebody on board who has the training, the facts and figures for a particular thing you are trying to decide on, and then you now say, in this same meeting, there is, you are a Christian, let's say you have a church member, or let's say your cell member is there. Then you just call your cell member who just joined and say, you function by tongues and interpretation, right? Prophesy to us how the year is going to be in this company. You are going to run down. Are we together? Because what you see at that moment is somebody working with what? Facts and what? Figures. Somebody who is trained. Someone to show you. Maybe it's an accountant that has been called. The accountant will help you, will do the auditing and tell you the money language and tell you, hey guys, based on what you brought over from last year and what you started last year with, your company is crawling. Your company is suffocating. That's your money language. Then you say, no. It's tongues and interpretation that you want. And then you now call the brother. He say, prophesy to us. So the brother begins to say, oh, logo, leg, logo, lagunga, lagoon. You know that's where your business will go into. Let's just go into lagoon. Are we together? Then after finishing the tongues and interpretation session, you just say, another believer. See that? It's someone that joined this company last week. Where is he? Oh, you. Yeah, I think you're a Christian, right? Yeah, do you do tongues and interpretation your joy? Yes, prophesy to us. You now gather all their prophecies. Then you send it to the board. That is your projection for the year. Are we together? You just go into the lagoon. Amen. What is supposed to change the recognition, isn't it? Now, does that mean the fellow is not a Christian? No, but in this meeting, are we together? This is the person that's supposed to function in this area. Meetings, functions are a function of what? Recognition. Are we together? Sometimes, because someone is your sibling, does not qualify the person to make a financial decision in another setting. Are we together? But when you are back into the family, for example, you work in a company or you work in an organization, your husband is your CEO, and then you have a role, and then you say, no, this is hobby now, this is just hobby. What he's saying that he's joking. You think this is the bedroom, or you think this is the room or the kitchen, and you just say he's joking. He says it's going to crash. If at that moment I'm supposed to have a recognition, I'm supposed to have a recognition of who it is that is functioning. So the second thing in Christian meeting, aside from the tone, my tone, or the tone of the meeting rather, is also recognition of functions. Is it clear, church? So imagine you mix things up. If you mix things up, amen? Amen? That is, you treat like your boss somebody who is just a believer. Because he's a believer, you begin to treat him like your boss. Your boss gives an instruction in your workplace. Maybe your boss is a Muslim. And then a Christian walks in and says, I would rather do it this way. Then you follow the Christian. He is going to employ you. I mean, if you try that with me, that's what's going to happen. You will go to the establishment. He's going to employ you. So, functions are key in meetings. Glory to God. So, look at it as I close. In Christian meetings, number one, we are gathered in His name. It affects our tone. Tone includes preparing for the meeting, showing up with the materials needed for the meeting. Are we together? I'm trying to put a whole lot of things together in one teaching session because I have more things to talk about. Are we together? So tone, coming with my Bible to church services is the tone of meeting. I come in early. Are we there? Are we there? What? Early. I don't come in late. It's the tone of meeting. I don't dress in an ill manner. You come to church service. Like I told you last session, it's easy to spot illiterates concerning Christian meeting. Illiterates. Don't forget that's how we started. So you come to church meeting and then you have band on your forehead. Band. You just put headband. You can do that for the first few services because we can be accommodate that. Guy doesn't need. Are we together? And put headband. Then put mask. Yes, I've seen that before. A meeting. Like Batman. Jesus is not there. Are we together? Are we together? Because there is no supernatural consciousness. So the second thing is supernatural consciousness. So look at this. We said some things. I'll go over them. We'll close. Are you with me? We said in church services, is God in our midst? Up. But we observe that He is in our midst because He is with us. Basics. We don't come to meet with Him in the meeting. We don't just come to meet with Him in the meeting. Please use the word just. We don't just come to meet with Him in the meeting. We also came as men indwelt already by Him. 1 Corinthians 3:16, John 14:16, 17, and 20. He says, I am in you, with you. So what are we saying? My consciousness, play for me and close, ought to be a supernatural one. Praise God. My consciousness ought to be what? Supernatural. Now look at this. When I say my consciousness ought to be supernatural one, what am I dealing with particularly? I'm dealing with your perception of other men. Is that what I use meetings and meetings to deal with now? Huh? It's meetings, business meetings, mixing personalities together. Exactly. So, the way I see people in church meetings must change from the way I see them in the world. Look at, I told you that that consciousness can even follow you into the meeting. That consciousness can even follow you into the meeting. But it shows you that the way I see people in meetings also change. Maybe that fellow that is leading the prayers is your younger brother. It doesn't matter. What matters is that he has the move of God for that moment. See, anytime and handles the mic, the person has the move of God at that moment. The person is given direction. He is given the privilege of giving direction to the move of God.
If the person says, we declare this meeting closed, the meeting has what? Ask prayer again. What does the whole church do? So that fellow with the mic, at that moment, has the privilege to give direction to the move of, as mighty as God is, the flow of the Spirit of God in this meeting is with us. We all will. That's why we are careful who goes there. Is it clear, church? Matters not whether it's your sister or your sibling or your colleague or your boss. See, it does not even matter if at that moment the person there is my disciple. That means I trained and raised him in the Lord to the point where he can now do something there. And it's not just about the people, about our meetings generally, cell meetings. It's not until you use the mic. It can even be in our meetings, the one who has the charge has the move of the Spirit. Recognition machine. It shows you this, that the way I see people, I said it last time, the way I see people in church services goes a long way to affect how much I receive. So I'm not stupid. Let yourself say, I'm not stupid. Say, I'm not stupid. Say, I'm not fleshy. I'm spiritual. Consciousness. So the way I see people, look at, the way I see people in meetings is the way I what? I will receive. Look at it. That also means that the way I see people in the meetings is the way I will worship God in the service. The way I see people in the meeting is the way I will worship God. Because everybody came with his presence. Glory to God forevermore. I say glory to God forevermore. So it's a supernatural gathering. I therefore am conscious of the fact that the supernatural God will walk through those men in the meetings. In the meetings. So Christian meetings means to us supernatural moments. Hallelujah. Supernatural what? Moment. Continue from there next. Supernatural moment. Supernatural moment. The means was supernatural moment. So I spoke about the fellow who comes in and begins to argue with the usher. He says, sit down here. No. The moment you do that, you are already affecting your reason. In the meeting. Because supernatural consciousness means I maintain a sacred perception. See, he calls our meeting together the temple of what? Of God. See, God is a supernatural being. The temple of a supernatural being is sacred. So it's illiterate service and you are using your phone. You are just an illiterate. Gisting. Jesting. Distracting. There was a while ago, I had to correct some sets of people. You know how I corrected them? I walked them out of the meeting. I said, get out of here. Get out. I stood my ground and they walked out of here. Get out of here. Because they're not writing notes. So someone was passing notes from there. I said, pass it. The notes to get there. Then one will look back. Smile. Then that one will write again. Then that one will read it. And smile again. You know, I was watching. You get up. You get up. Out. This is secret. Thank you. Are we together, church?
Is it not in church that they will get better? We will go and get them better outside. That one is not just immaturity. Are we together? That is ungodliness. See, if the person here were to be the local government chairman of this local government, you compose yourself. The governor of the state, you compose yourself. If your vice chancellor is on ground and you are seated and he can see you, you most likely will not take a phone. I mean, you will not pick a call. You will not use a phone. In this meeting, God is here. So we treat it as sacred. It affects how we receive. It also affects how we worship God. Imagine, I'll show you from Genesis 28 later on, maybe next week. But just like Jacob will go by that place called Luz, which was then called Bethel, and then he had an encounter of the ladder that comes from heaven to the earth, and the Son of God, you know, stands on the top of the ladder and spoke to him as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Imagine that as you walk into the service, let's imagine that as you walk into the service and you open the door, the moment you came in, you fell into a vision. Or as you were about to open the door, you fell into a vision. And then you saw a bright light in the vision. And someone magnificent walks up to you and tells you that this is my worship space. Or this is a sacred ground. Just something simple. You fell into a vision. As you were trying to open the door, you just fell into a vision. And then you heard the sound. This is my place of worship. Is a sacred place. How would you when you come in? If you treat the meeting more honorably than you do when you didn't see any vision, you are an ungodly person. Because you don't have to see the vision. God's word already says it is sacred. Ezekiel, church. Ezekiel, church. So, the first one is spectacular. The second one. But the fact that it is not spectacular does not mean it is less supernatural. We miss out. Because we are looking for what is spectacular. Is it clear, church? So, the place of gathering is a place of worship. A supernatural meeting means God is here. I told you last week, God is everywhere, right? But look at this. God is not the head of the meeting everywhere. God is not the head of the meeting. But we prayed before we started now. The fact that you prayed before you started the meeting, and that's one thing with Christian meetings too. So, we want to call it the Christian meeting, because we sprinkled prayer and mention God's name. There is almost no meeting as such that God is not mentioned. In the meeting, and we are discussing money. Yeah, by the grace of God. Are we together? So, the fact that you opened up the meeting with prayer does not make it a Christian meeting. What makes it a Christian meeting is, why are you gathered? Because now, we are having a business meeting or a money meeting, and then we opened it praying. We are prayed. But after we are prayed, maybe at the close of meeting again, we do what? We prayed. But why did we meet? Imagine we prayed. Actually, the next thing I now did is that I now started talking about God. Yeah, God is wonderful. Ah, His grace is even. And then, before I'm done talking, somebody else just is coming. That's our last thing. This is said about God. God is very wonderful. I say, His love and His compassion. Look at how He created the whole world and this and this. Then someone says, God. And then we said the meeting is 2 hours. And then we are spending 20 minutes, 30 minutes. Then we expect someone to caution us. Yeah. That's why we came.
That means we didn't gather for the Lord. We gathered to address business or association issue. Now that we have prayed, let's get into why we gathered. So, why we gathered is not because we prayed to start. A Christian meeting is you started with prayer. Pray. Are you with me? Are we together? The fact that you started out praying does not make it a Christian meeting. Why are we gathered? So, having prayed, we go further into His plans, His purposes. That's what makes it a Christian meeting. And there are functions in that meeting. That means it is a Christian meeting because in this meeting, He is the head. He is the leader. He is the reason. Are we together, church? Are we together, church? So one of the things that we maintain in meetings, in the church, is that in this particular meeting, He is Lord. He is leader. He is the head. In this particular meeting, He is what? He is the reason. That's what makes it a Christian. Are we together? Christian meeting. This meeting. There are diverse other meetings. His name is mentioned. They pray to Him, but He's not heard there. So I told you that together, there is a unique presence of God. There is a unique presence of God that is in that meeting that is not found elsewhere. Is God everywhere? Is God everywhere? But in the meetings, there's a what? There's a what? He's present everywhere. But in the meeting, there is a unique presence. Are we together, church? All right. So I'll see us later. I will get out of here. I'll be great to get more.